Well, church, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, as we continue on in our series. Turn to Luke chapter 21 this morning. Go there and turn and park in Luke chapter 21 as we'll read a few verses there and then go into the continuation of our study of the You Need to Know series as we're looking at future things. As we're looking at the future things of what the Bible has to say. Future things. You guys know now theologically, to impress all your friends, you can go back home today and say, I learned about eschatology. The science of the Bible, studying God's revelation of future events. Jesus tells us, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, mark it, everybody. By the way, allow me to do this. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. That's my Bible. But I'm going to drop also the Living Translation down here for some of you who are not familiar. So I'll mix it together for a moment. So you stay tuned on that. Jesus said, watch out. Take heed. The word means exercise attention. This is a serious statement by Jesus. Watch out, Jesus says. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing, partying, that leads to drunkenness, and by the worries of this life. The word worries, the distracting cares, the things that prodding cares, prodding. They poke at you. You know those cares that get your attention like that? They just kind of bug you. You know, they're the cares that wake you up in the middle of the night. You know those kind of cares? Things that keep you awake. Things that distract you. Jesus says, watch out! These are the things that are going to be happening. Don't let them dull your hearts. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on earth. Underline that in your Bible. Underline that. He makes a statement. Everyone living on the earth is going to get caught off guard. Look what he says, though. Verse 36. Keep alert at all times. The word means never let your soul's guard or your spiritual stance grow tired and you sleep. In other words, spiritually stay awake and pray. Notice the statement. Pray that you might be strong enough or be found alert to escape these things coming or these coming horrors, to avoid them, to miss them. The word means to not be present when they happen. What a statement. And so that you may stand before the Son of God. The Son of Man, Jesus is saying, watch out, be ready, stand guard, don't go to sleep on your watch, don't let your soul become complacent. Why? Because there's going to be a trap that falls upon all those who live on the earth. But pray that you'll be ready to escape all those things. That is pretty crystal clear. That there's a time coming. Now, I tell you what, I've read what I'm about to read to you. I've read so many times because I wanted to impress you as though it was coming off of my own heart and my own mind in the instant. I did write this. It ministered to me, made me cry. Quite frankly, of where I'm at currently spiritually with God and what's going on in my life. I'm begging God for a revival. Like America's never known before. And I've been studying the revival of 1857 and 1858 still to this day. It's considered the greatest revival in recorded human history in the United States. It's wound up sweeping Europe. Read about it, 1857, 1858. But my heart was so stirred up, and then knowing that we're going to this portion of Scripture that we have the vantage point of what we're going to be learning, of watching all this stuff. If possible, we'll watch it from heaven. I'd rather not even care about it, but the Bible tells us in advance. But we'll be there as all little hell breaks loose on earth during that tribulation period. And so this is what I wrote to myself. The world that... I don't even know if I can read it. Be a man. The world that you and I live in claims to have a high value for truth. Our secular culture prides itself on demanding accuracy and honesty when investigating issues. But is that what we see coming out of our culture and our institutions today? Our culture, our society, even the so-called Christian culture is guilty today of interpreting and reinterpreting the truth of God in light of how we feel or how we think God should rule on a particular issue or how God ought to conduct himself. God needs to meet our standards today. Not we meet his. But the God of the Bible is predictive, prophetic, revealing to us that he not only knows the future, but desires to share that information with us for our good. Thus, he writes it in the Bible. God wants you to know the future. He stands alone in this issue. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. Isaiah 45, 21 says, "Who foretold this long ago?" God's exclusive. Note this. He says, "Who declared it from distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me." Listen, how exclusive. And if he weren't God alone, he sounds arrogant. But he is God alone. There's none but me. Turn to me, verse 22. He says, listen to him. Skeptic, atheist, downcast, sad person, lost. Listen, the same God says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. This is the prophetic, predictive God of the Bible. Look to me, he says. Horrible times are coming upon the earth. Tomorrow's Monday. That's rough enough. Look to me, he says. And so I picked up my pen and I continued to write. A church, a Christian, without a prophetic biblical worldview cannot understand either the person of God or how you and I are to live our lives in light of our God. And the sad reality today within evangelicalism is that it's giving way to an emotionally based theology that is reinventing theology and redefining who God is. And now we begin to ask ourselves, hath God really said? Culture and our leaders today, in a way, are creating a God in their own image. And unless the church stands up and reassumes her rightful place as the church of the living God and a pillar in the ground of all truth, there will be no hope for a lost world. They will have no place to run to in the day of trouble, and they will have no place that they might be found. A man-made theology is nothing less than intellectual dishonesty and spiritual suicide, which is perhaps the purest form of idolatry. A God carved out of our culture, one that conveniently approves of everything we want, when we want it, and how we choose to have it to be, is in fact godlessness. On the wave of this cultural storm, the Bible says a man will arise unlike any other that the world has ever seen, and he will ride that wave of human request onto global popularity. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches regarding this coming Antichrist. Giving up on God, giving up on the Bible. But man's hunger and thirst for spirituality will be answered by this one that the Bible speaks about, the one that we've been talking about and we started looking at last time together. Mark this down if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 said that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, the man, the Antichrist, the consummate politician, the man who will answer all the needs religiously, culturally, socially, emotionally, will be working under the workings of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. Notice whom he deceives, those who are perishing. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They had a way out. They had opportunity that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So listen, last week we looked at it, and we'll just speak about it for a second. A grand deception is coming to planet Earth, church. Jesus said it's coming. The world is being prepared to become totally frustrated with politics. Somebody say amen. Amen. To become so disillusioned by human government that a man is going to come on the scene and talk the language of the world, and he's going to say, I know what to do. And I would assume the world was going to be somewhat skeptical of him at first, but the Bible tells us that he's going to come on the world scene, and his crowning achievement to launch him and catapult him is that, of course, he rises out of the ash heap of humanity. The world seems to be in such peril that he answers two key things. The Bible says he crafts a Middle East peace agreement with the nation of Israel, which is amazing. The Bible has said that for 2,600 years now. And he will stabilize the global economy. Now we look at our second argument this morning. He will be part of and introduce and give a stage to a universal religion. And I believe that we are well on our way to that being introduced. Can you mark that down? Number two, understanding what the Bible says in theological understandings of future events, there is a universal religion coming to planet Earth. We know this from the book of Revelation and other books of the Bible. There is a system that's coming that will unite all the various religions of the world together into one package. And this shouldn't be surprising for us. You say, how in the world will Islam ever get along with Judaism and Hinduism, with Buddhism and atheism, with New Age and the Asian religions of the Orient? How's that going to work? I don't know how it's going to work. I just know that the Bible says it will be done by lying wonders empowered by Satan himself. It's going to take Satan to dupe people like that together. It's going to be the ultimate kumbaya. Let's get together. Let's all unite. And this is why, this is one of the key reasons why this Sunday series began. Let's unite on the things people say that we have in common, and let's not bring up the things that we disagree on. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, do I have your attention? You must read your Bible. The Bible makes it very clear that if you are possessed by God Almighty and you know His Word, there will be few people on earth who will agree with you. Because listen, they don't agree with heaven and they will not agree with you. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on what you want to carve God out of your culture to be like. God says, this is it. And He's trying to rescue us. And Jesus says, please don't go down that path of deception. How are you going to know? By how you feel? Or by what God's word says? That's doctrine. What is the truth? Not, well, I feel and I think and I don't know. What does God say? And He's not silent. But this is how this Antichrist, the false prophet that will associate with him and Satan himself, will do it. Mark it down if you would, please. He will deify the humanity of man. The Bible tells us that he's going to deify the humanity of man. He himself ultimately is going to declare to the world that he is God. You say, well, Jack, how do you say that he's going to deify the humanity of man? Because you know exactly what I know. There's an interesting thing that Satan does that has been very, very successful throughout human history. It worked in the garden and it works today. You got it. You're nodding your head. And that is, you can become a God also. You say, Jack, that's stupid, that's silly. To you it is, because you've got the light. Do I need to remind you that under Satan's deception, this man will have the most amazing charisma the world has ever seen? That's scary. He will be surrounded by power, and he will begin to think even of himself that he's more than a man. He will be lied to by Satan also. He would become a victim of his own propaganda, but it will be propaganda that Satan is infusing into him. And it's no secret to any Bible student that Satan loves to introduce aberrant doctrine. Genesis 3, verse 1, listen to this. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that's weird, that's just weird. Because Eve didn't freak out and say, what in the world is the snake doing talking to me? That wasn't the issue. Isn't that weird? Did animals talk, Dr. Doolittle, back then? Did they? It's just weird. Anyway, He said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Doubt's introduced. Satan is the inventor of false doctrine. Charles Spurgeon says having a life full of doubt is having faith in Satan. I think that's kind of accurate. But Satan's the one who invents false doctrine. The only way we're going to know the truth against the false is by knowing the Word of God. But it happened in the garden, and this is what took place. So Satan introduces this. Has God really said? Doubt is introduced. Eve counters and says, "God told us not to eat of that tree right there." And what did Satan counter back with? "God just knows. See, he's not telling you the truth, Eve. He's keeping some stuff back from me because here's the thing. He doesn't want you to be like him. He knows that in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like gods." Really? You got to remember, Eve wasn't stupid. She was perfect. And Satan was so powerful, speaking through this serpent thing, that it caused her to doubt. And then she began to embrace false doctrine. And then you know what she decided to do? She decided to do it. She decided to act on it. And her decision produced all aberrant false doctrines from that moment on. But the key centrality of it is, all Satan has to do is get you just off course a little bit. Now, if that you call that a little bit, I don't call that a little bit, but she said, "I would like to be like this." And she did it. What I find interesting is that's self-deification, is it not? I want to be like God. This Antichrist is going to want to be like God. Why? The genre of those who know not God is that they want to be like God. Even though they don't know God, they don't want anything to do with God because, frankly, God crowds their space. They want to be their own. And look, when you and I live on our own and we live without God and we reject Him, aren't we kind of doing that anyway? It's in our DNA from our mom, from Mama Eve. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says that he, the Antichrist, will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. He's jealous, or that is worshipped as God, so that he sits as God in the temple, that's Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God. And people will love it when this happens. He will attempt to unify the world's religions. He's going to declare himself to be God, and the world is going to believe it. You say, "Jack, that's insane." I agree, it is insane, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I just ask you this. Even though we as Christians will miss this on earth, can you begin to feel or to see or to discern or to look at the possible atmosphere where such a thing could even take place? The trends and the leaning? Listen, we shouldn't be surprised about this, though. There are basically 5 pillars to Satanism. Are you aware of that? 5 pillars, they're called, of Satanism. That is the Satan's heart about what he propagates. It's in Isaiah chapter 14. It's amazing. Mark it down. You're going to want to look at this later. They're known as the 5 I wills of Satan. The 5 I wills. There is an amazing commentary, and we'll get to it on some Wednesday night in the future, maybe. Isaiah 14, when we get there. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart," number one, "I will ascend into heaven." Interesting, huh? Satan wanted to be above God. I want heaven. Number two, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." The star, the references to angels. I want a throne higher than the other angels. I want to sit above God. Listen, the Bible's letting you into his mind. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north." Listen, this is what Nimrod intended to do. Remember, Nimrod built a tower, and he was an archer. It's very unclear in the English. Nimrod was a hunter for the souls of men. That's what it means in Scripture, that he hunted men's souls. Isn't that kind of creepy? What an animal of a man. And he built a tower to do what? To reach God. But doesn't it sound nice to reach God? No, the word means to shoot God down off his throne. Where did he get that from? It's in the heart of Satan. It's in the heart of man to take God off his throne. When God's not on the throne, who's on the throne? We put ourselves on the throne. We have followed and swallowed the line of Satan. He goes on, Isaiah 14:14, he says there, the fourth, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The fifth one, I will be like the Most High. Anybody coming along and peddling a religion that says you can become like God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that that comes from Satan in Genesis chapter 3. Proving that Lucifer, Satan, is the ultimate wannabe, is he not? I want this, I want this, I want this. Does it sound like our culture today? I want this, and I want it now. That commercial, people open their windows. I want my money, and I want it now. I want my burger, and I want it my way. And if we don't get it, is there a line of complaints? Fill out a form, you know. Bertrand Russell said in his book, Power, A New Social Analysis, in 1938, wrote, every man would like to be a god, said Bertrand Russell. By the way, his last words on his deathbed was, death comes pitless and dark, and he died without God. Jean-Paul Sartre, a secular humanist, writes, to be man means to reach toward being a god. Interesting. If this has not yet offended you, maybe for some of you this will, and if it offends you, then you need to check your theology. Are you listening carefully? Did I get your attention? Some guy by the name of Kenneth Copeland in The Force of Love said, you're all a god. You don't have a god living in you. You are God. When I read in the Bible where God tells Moses, I am, I say, yeah, I am too. That's audio tape BBC 56, Trinity Broadcasting Network, February 5th, 1986. Yeah, when I read in the Bible, God says that he's the I am, I say I am too. Ladies and gentlemen, that's false doctrine. And a man will come on the scene to deceive the world. And Satan said again to Eve in chapter 3, verse 4 of Genesis, then the serpent said to Eve, the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. And God condemned the doctrine. But Satan knows it works. And history has shown that whenever the world grows desperate and finds itself in need of a leader in perilous times, a leader will always arise. Man will see to it. Man will find a leader. And if he can't find one, he'll make one. I think I mentioned this last week, I'm not sure, but in a book, I believe it was written by Dr. John Wolverine, he said, Satan does not know God's timetable. Satan has to study the times, and he knows the Bible. We know that Satan knows the Bible. He's got to look at the times. This is kind of eerie. Listen, and if I repeated it last week, please forgive me, but keep this in mind. Because he doesn't know, Satan is not all-knowing. He's trying to figure it out as well. That for every generation, he has to have an Antichrist type to meet his need in the wings. And when you think about that and then review world history, it'll give you the creepies. Because every generation has had its lunatic that tries to take the world. And they always hate the Jew, by the way. They always hate the Jew. We were in Jerusalem several years ago, and we were having dinner. And there was an old man, an aged man, obviously a survivor of the Holocaust. Why? Because when he reached over to take his bread and dip his bread in his wine, that's how they do it there. They dip the bread in the wine and then put the bread in their mouth. When he reached like that, his number was on his forearm. Hitler numbered Jews. Antichrist is going to number people. Remember we talked about it last week, 666. It's amazing. But man wants a leader. I don't mean to offend anybody by this. It's Time Magazine. I'm just, go ahead and put it up, but I want to explain it. It was broadcast or it was printed up. You guys have it? Printed up? Anybody? You don't have it? No. Oh, no. Time Magazine. If I say it, you won't believe it, so I'm not going to say it. Maybe next service we can get that slide up. But all right. Time Magazine had Obama Shiva, and maybe you saw it. You can go online. You can buy it, and he's on the cover. And poor Obama. I mean, this is a lot of pressure. He's got about seven arms, and he's got all of these different world problems that he's having to deal with, and the world is putting their hope, or they were putting their hope in him to fix all these things. This is my point. I'm not bashing Obama. Oh my goodness, I forgot that. Look at that. God of all things. That's pressure. I mean, I don't like the guy, but that's too, I feel bad for him. He's got to juggle all this stuff? Why is this on the cover of Time or Newsweek? Why is it on the Newsweek? Because man wants answers. And if you can answer man's answers, you win. What do you win? You win the homage and the worship of mankind. That's pressure. But here's my point. Weird, strange, in the 21st century, that Newsweek would even suggest reaching back to an ancient god and apply it to this poor man who's got to answer all the problems of the world. My point is, why would man even look to such a thing? That Newsweek should have said, we don't need another politician, we need God. We need to read the Bible. Just showing and proving the desperate state of man. Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, this is Jesus' words to the tribulation saints. Standing in the holy place. That means there's a temple going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. Wow. That's a revelation statement. Daniel 9:26. This one, the prince who is to come, he will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Daniel 9 says it's Jerusalem and the temple. Revelation 13:3. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. God calls him the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who is like this leader of ours? Who is able to make war with him? We're so safe. The next thing, mark it down, is this. The things about the future happening, coming to planet Earth, possibly, I say in our lifetime, though we'll be raptured out of here before the Antichrist can be revealed, this evil, this universal religion will parade itself with its own trinity. I just read it a moment ago. Satan is involved, the Antichrist is involved, and there's a false prophet. Isn't that interesting? Savvy speech, demonic wisdom, technology, this image that is made, this thing, this statue, the false prophet gives power to it, demonic power to a statue, and it's able to discern and speak to the masses. That sounds like Microsoft, Apple type of coolness. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, why get an iWatch now? You have an iPhone, you have an iPad, you have an iWatch. I don't have an iWatch. I have a Kohl's $37 watch. But imagine taking this stuff and the phone stuff and your iPad stuff and your iWhatever stuff and you just put it in your eye. What if it's iMe? Hey, I just made that up. I should patent that or trademark it. Introducing the iMe. Why? What is that? Everything's in me. I'm wired. I could get wired. The biometric man. $6 million man for $9.95. Imagine if I could somehow have technology. Listen, I'm being sarcastic right now. Imagine if there's a form of technology that is coated in protein that can be inserted into my body that's compatible with my physiology, and it works inside of me better than outside of me. What if? See, of course I'm being sarcastic. We're already doing that. Amazing times, huh? I love the Bible. The Bible tells you about what's coming. Only our God can do that. The next thing is this. This universal religion, it will win people over by the powers of hell. Now look, I feel, this is the choir, I'm preaching to the choir. When the Bible says that this all lying, demonic deception, people are going to be won over. I mean, you and I have a tendency, it's like, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. But have you seen what people will follow? I told Wednesday night, on Monday or Tuesday, I forget what day it was, it doesn't matter. My wife and I were in Hollywood, and you, no one goes to Hollywood, right? If you live in California, you don't go to Hollywood. But we had to be there. And we just wanted a nice, normal, quiet day. And there goes Johnny Depp with his two kids, for real. And Amy Poehler, whoever she is. She's somebody funny, I guess. And then people from the show The Office. And these stars were going to this debut of some Disney cartoon. And I got to tell you, I told the Wednesday night service, people were going crazy. And it's like, what? In L.A., you don't know what that means. And people are just... And I'm watching this, and it's like, this is insane. And Lisa and I laughed. This guy, hey, Mike, here's John Travolta. And it's like he was there. And it was his star. And the guy laid down next to him, and he's taking a selfie, and he's hugging the star. And you say, well, that's just cute fun. You know what? I got a kind of a feeling if John Travolta showed up, people would have fainted. Does anybody know who John Travolta is? Anybody? Or whoever, you know? Bieber, Justin Bieber, the Beeb. What would happen if the Beeb showed up? People would probably faint, pass out. Ah! There's a guy going to come on the scene that's going to make their lives happy, wealthy, peaceful. Settle all the world's problems. He's going to get his own star in Hollywood. The world will go nuts and you know it. They'll love him. They will be deceived by the powers of hell. Daniel chapter 8 verse 25 says that through his policies he will cause deception to prosper in his hand. Wow, what a description. Remember his workings. By the workings of Satan. It's remarkable. The Bible says in Revelation 17, verse 6, John said, I saw a woman. Now, let me comment on this with the time we have. John says, I saw a woman. When you read the entire chapter 17 and 18, you find out that this woman is some sort of a global, massive system of worship, a false church that is a conglomeration of everything. And he says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Do you know anything about church history or religious history? The biggest perpetrator against faithful Christian doctrine and those who held to it was an organized church. The Bible says in the tribulation period, there's an organized religion that will kill those believers during that period of time who believe in Christ. Are you sitting down? This is creepy. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, John said, "Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God," that's the Bible, "who had not worshipped the beast or his image or had not received his mark." They were beheaded. The tribulation saints, not the church, the tribulation believers will be beheaded. You say, "Jack, why are you telling us all this?" Number one, Christian, thank God right now you're not going to be there. Number two, if you're not a Christian, listen, you need to live for Jesus today. You need to give your heart to Christ today. And then finally, we end with this right here. A time is coming on earth unlike any other time ever seen in human history. A time is coming on earth unlike any other time. Number one, when God executes his wrath on earth, that's what the 7-year tribulation period is all about. The Bible promises in numerous places you will not receive that wrath, but the world will. Notice this, by the way, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are persecuted by the world. Never, never do they receive the wrath of Almighty God. The tribulation period is earth receiving the wrath of Almighty God. We looked at this several weeks ago, but mark this down. Revelation 6, verse 17. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" God's wrath against the Christ-rejecting world. Are you a Christ-rejecter right now? Are you one of those people regarding what I opened up with? I want to make a God in my own image, and I want him to approve of what I like, and for him to stay out of the things that I want him to stay out of. And I will create this God in my image. I will create a new doctrine. I will reinvent theology. This is the God of the 21st century. Listen, if that's you, you know not God. Who is able to stand against him? He executes his wrath that's coming upon the planet Earth. Secondly, God will punish the world for their sins. Did you hear that? You will not be punished for your sins, Christian. Amen. Hey, everybody, listen up. We're almost done. What a deal. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for our what? Sins. Oh, let me hear it a little louder. Sins. The Bible says Jesus died on the cross for our sins. God says right here, "I'm going to punish the earth for their sins." Why? Did you not make opportunity for them to have their sins forgiven? Oh, I certainly did, says God. But time ran out for them. They wouldn't accept the ticket out. And so now they must be punished for their sins. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment." Watch this. "Until the indignation," the wrath, "is past, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place." Why? "To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity," for their sins. Isaiah 13, I know I'm rushing, but we're done almost, really. I mean, we're done. Isaiah 13, 9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes." Listen to this. "Cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens shall be shaken, the constellations will not give their light, the sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine." Why? Verse 11, "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity." Why would you be in that rank? And then we end here. What in the world is going on during this tribulation period? It's all about when God redeems his people Israel. The 7 years is all about God redeeming his people Israel. It's coming. That's why Israel's in the news every day. That's why they're back in their land. That's why everybody hates them. Just wait, it's going to get worse. Who says? God says. You see, Jack, what's the point to all this? Glad you asked. Here it is. We end with this. "I'm a believer, I could die next week." True. Listen, here's the deal. The point is that you and I get very serious about the Lord today. that you and I make sure that we are not available for the pickings of this one that's to come. To make sure that you have biblical faith, listen to this. 1 John 2 says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, says the Bible. 1 John 4 goes on to say, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And I ask you, where are you at? So make sure you're a believer today. This is the point. If you're a Christian today, exercise yourself, the Bible says, to godliness. This is what we're all seeking to do. Get away from the stuff that's of the world, those cares that Jesus warned us about that can so foil our growth. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't get pulled down and weighted down. Next, I need to reclaim the lost time of my life, the lost time of these days that you and I live in. I'm not laying this on you. God's laying this on me. This is what he and I have been going through. Well, he's not been going through anything. I'm the one going through it. He's taken me through it. I'm happy about it, but miserable. It's wonderfully disgusting for God to wake me up and say, come, get out of bed. Talk to me. To lay in your face? What's happening? What are you saying, God? What's going on? Seek me, Jack, like you've never sought me before. But I seek you. I didn't say you didn't seek me. I said, seek me like you've never sought me before. What, you know, I steal from the Bible when I don't know what to say. It's biblical, by the way. John 15:7 says, pray the Bible. When I don't know what to say, so like this, again, this morning on my face, Lord, what would you have me to do? I stole that from Paul on the Damascus Road. Lord, what would you have me to do? Get ready. What? You know, he doesn't tell you everything. That's why when he talks, it's wonderful and terrible. It's glorious and frightening. I don't know what's coming. I just know this. God is waking us up. He's stirring our hearts. Draw close to me. Get one with me. I'll turn on the TV, and I just sense the Lord strongly saying, turn it off. I'll turn on music, even, classical. God invented classical music. And he says, turn it off. I pick up a Christian book, and he says, put it down. Pick up my book. Sometimes listen. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes he says, put down my book. Yes. I don't want to talk any theology with you, Jack, right now. I'm not interested in theology, Jack, right now. I want you and I to meet. Let's talk. Let's you and I be together. Has God ever asked you to put down the Bible so he could be alone with you? Lord, we give you our lives today. We've read the back of the book. It ends well. We ask you, Father God, that if there's someone here today that does not know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and ours, or they've heard it but have yet to believe it, that they would say now, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I lay down my gods. And I come to you and I ask you to be one with me, Lord. Cause me to get lost in your presence. Cause me, God, to get drunk on your spirit. Cause me to eat of your word. If that's your heart's desire today, just tell him now. All you need to say is, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me too, and that you rose again from the dead. And I want you to take my life today. And all God's people said, let's stand.